The children are dismissed. As they're leaving, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's page 1029. We'll read verses 1 to 10 in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brethren beloved by God, that he has chosen you. For our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us what a welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And then please turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. It's page 857 in your pew Bibles. We'll read from Matthew 22, beginning at verse 15 and through verse 22. From Matthew 22. Then the Pharisees went and took counsel how to entangle him in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully and care for no man, for you do not regard the position of men. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the money for the tax." And they brought him a coin. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away.
Eternal God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Christ, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You might have noticed from all the attack ads that we are in the midst of a political season. In a couple of weeks, we'll all be going to the polls to vote, and you can all relax because I'm not going to tell you how to vote. But one of the things that is often funny about watching politicians, especially during the political season, is to watch them dance around gotcha questions. We all know what a gotcha question is. A gotcha question is a question where no matter how you answer it, you're going to make someone angry. If you answer it this way, you're going to make one group of people angry, and if you answer it another way, you're going to make another group of people angry. So no one likes gotcha questions. I was watching on the news the other day a couple of politicians, senatorial candidates in Kentucky, and one of them, the Democratic challenger, was asked who she voted for president in 2008, the president being terribly unpopular in Kentucky. And so she didn't want to say that she voted for the president. If she said that, she'd make a lot of people angry. And she didn't want to say she didn't vote for him, because if she said that, she'd make a lot of people angry. So she spent about 5 minutes dancing around a question that a simple yes or no would have sufficed, but she recognized that it was a gotcha question. In our text this morning, Jesus isn't running for office, but he is campaigning. He has gone throughout Galilee telling people about the kingdom of God, the way things would be when God finally has God's way with the world. But now he's in the final stretch. He has made it all the way to Jerusalem. The people have welcomed him into Jerusalem with Hosanna. And now his opponents have begun to lob a series of got you questions at him, hoping that he will stumble. And the question that they're asking this morning is about taxes. Should Jews pay taxes or not? Taxes are always a difficult issue. No one likes paying taxes, but the tax that is in question was particularly hated because it was a tax that the Jews paid to Rome, the Roman overlords. And paying the tax to Rome reminded many Jews that they were still not free, that they were still a subject people living under the heel of Rome. And so many Jews objected to paying the tax. They didn't like it. They didn't like the tax. They didn't like tax collectors. They didn't like anyone associated with the tax. And so they hated it. So we're not surprised this morning that Jesus would be asked the question about taxes, especially taxes to the Romans. And the text tells us that the Pharisees and the Herodians come together to ask Jesus this question. And it's interesting because the Pharisees and the Herodians usually did not see eye to eye. They usually didn't get along with each other. The Pharisees were the party that were closest to the people. They often expressed the sentiments of the common people. And the people, of course, did not like taxes, especially taxes going to Rome. And the Herodians were those who represented the Jewish elite. They were people who were loyal to King Herod and his family, who the Romans had installed in the power. And so the Herodians were collaborators with Rome. But both the Herodians and the Pharisees hated Jesus. They wanted to get rid of Jesus because Jesus came representing the kingdom of God. Jesus was about God's kingdom breaking into the world. And one of the things we sometimes don't like, no matter where we might be situated on the political and social map, sometimes we have problems with the kingdom of God breaking into our world, because the kingdom of God challenges all of us. And so they come together to trap Jesus. If Jesus says, yes, pay the tax, then he will lose a lot of popular support among the people. And if Jesus says, no, do not pay the tax, then the Herodians will have him arrested for treason against Rome. And so they come together to trap him. Rabbi, we know you're a man of integrity. We know that you don't care anything about public opinion. We know that you don't stick a wetted finger in the air to try to discern the prevailing winds of public opinion. But what about this issue of taxes to the Romans? Should we pay these taxes or not? It's a perfect got you question. But Jesus responds in a way that would make even the most seasoned politician green with envy. Jesus says, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give God what belongs to God. Jesus' answer turns on image. He asked them, whose image is on the coin that was used to pay the tax? And any first century Jew could have easily told anyone that it was Caesar's image that was on the coin. Not only was Caesar's picture on the coin, but his name was also on the coin. And so Jesus says that if Caesar's picture is on it, and if Caesar's name is on it, then it must belong to Caesar. So give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Jesus apparently didn't mind paying the tax. And had he stopped there, he might have been in a little bit of trouble with the common people. But Jesus doesn't stop there. In the same breath, he adds, but give God what is God's. Give God what belongs to God. And that part of the answer also turns on image. Because any first century Jew would have also been able to tell you that we human beings are made in the image of God. That we have God's image all over us. That's what it says in the book of Genesis. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. We were all created in the image of God, each and every one of us. Does it make any difference who you are? Does it make any difference where you're from? Does it make any difference what you look like? Does it make any difference what you've been through? You were created in the image of God. And that means you belong to God. We all belong to God. Give God what is God's. There are some people, of course, who do not want that God-given image in their lives. Some of us don't want to look like God. Some of us do whatever we can to obliterate that image in our own lives and obliterate it in the lives of others. Whenever we hate other people, whenever we are indifferent to the needs of others, whenever we are mean-spirited, whenever we allow our hearts to be controlled by greed, whenever we worship money, we are in effect saying that we do not want to look like God. We want to look like something else. But Jesus reminds us this morning that we all belong to God, because we have God's image stamped upon each and every one of us. This text is usually read during the season of stewardship. It's usually read to remind us that God has a claim over all of our lives. If it is indeed true that we are created in the image of God, if it is indeed true that we belong to God, then that means that everything that we have belongs to God. Nothing belongs to us, really. Our bank accounts and our resources belong to God. They don't belong to us because we don't belong to us. The time that is allotted to us belongs to God. We may have to give some of that time to our employers. We may have to share some of that time with our families, but the time that is given to us belongs to God. The same is true with the talents that we've been blessed with. It all belongs to God. And because God does not do what Caesar does and tax us every year, once in a while, a preacher like me will come along and remind us of the importance of giving God what belongs to God. Giving back to God some of our resources and some of the time and some of the talents that God has blessed us with. Not because God needs them. God doesn't need any of it. We need them. Here at the church, we need it here at the church. We need it because God has called us to be a particular kind of community, a worshiping community, a missional community, a community that goes out into the world and is a light to the world. So yes, we need it. We need your time. We need your resources. We need your energy. We need your faith. And that's what giving is all about. It's about learning to be faithful to God. And I want to thank each and every one of you for the faithfulness that you all have exhibited in your giving. The things that we do here in this church cannot be done if it was not for your faithfulness, if it was not for the way that you give back to God the things that belong to God. But stewardship is not just about giving God some of our money. And it's not just about giving God some of our time. All of that is relatively easy. One of the problems with using this text is when we think about stewardship, we often think about percentages. I'll give God a percentage of my resources, and I'll give God a percentage of my time. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I hope that's what we do. I hope that from the very beginning, right off the top, that we begin to give God a percentage of what God has blessed us with. I would hope that each year we would evaluate that percentage to make sure that we are being faithful to God. One of our elders the other day challenged the session about the importance of tithing and the discipline of tithing, giving 10% of what God has blessed us with. I would hope that we would all take that challenge seriously and evaluate what it is that we might be able to give to God. But stewardship ultimately is not about percentages. It's not about us giving part of our money or part of our time or part of our resources or sharing our talents some of the time. Stewardship is the reminder that everything that we have belongs to God. And what God wants first and foremost is not a part of us or a percentage of us, but what God wants first and foremost, He wants all of us. God wants all of our hearts. God wants all of our undying devotion. God wants us to make Him the number one priority in our lives. God wants us to love Him with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our soul. That's what stewardship is all about. And that's what this passage this morning from the book of Matthew is about. Yes, from time to time we may have to give Caesar some of the things that we have, but our hearts remain 100% to God. We are to give our hearts and our life 100% to God and to God only. We might ask this morning, what does that look like? What does it look like to give ourselves completely to God? What does it look like to give to God what rightly belongs to God? How can we do that? What does it look like? And I can say that it looks like the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who gave Himself completely to God. If you want to know what the image of God looks like fully and completely, look at Jesus. If you want to know what it means to belong to God fully and completely, look at Jesus. Jesus is the one who gave Himself completely to God. Jesus was the one who emptied Himself. Jesus was the one who humbled Himself. Jesus was the one who gave Himself completely to God. So if you want to know what it looks like to be made in the image of God and to belong to God, look at Jesus. Because Jesus gave everything, everything in obedience, even obedience on the cross, because He belonged completely to God. In our reading this morning from Thessalonians, Paul reminds us to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, to imitate that example in our lives. Whenever we baptize someone, we usually baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and we make the sign of the cross on their foreheads. We do that because we remind them and remind ourselves that that's who we belong to. We belong to God. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to imitate him. We're not to imitate anything else in the world, not even Caesar. And some of us, we give our hearts and our minds over to other actors in our world. But we are to give our complete obedience over to the Lord Jesus Christ and over to God, because we belong to him. In one of Frederick Buechner's novels, one of the characters has problems with the IRS. And so one year after becoming a Christian, he decides to fill out his tax forms as if he was Jesus Christ. Where it says first name, he puts the name Jesus. Where it says last name, he put down I am the first and the last. Where it put down wages, he put down the wages of sin is death. He filled out his tax forms as if he were Jesus Christ. I wouldn't recommend that you do that when you're filling out your tax forms, because Caesar will come and get you for it. But I would hope that you mull over in your mind what it is to have the image of God stamped on our lives. I would hope that you would think about what it means to belong to God and what it means to give to God what belongs to God. We're all here this morning because we profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all here this morning because we acknowledge that we belong to him and him only. We're all here today in the midst of competing influences in our lives, people that want us to follow them, institutions that want us to follow them, institutions that want a piece of our hearts. But we are reminded that we belong to God. And while we may have to give Caesar that portion that belongs to Caesar, even more importantly, is to give God what belongs to God. And that is all of us, because God is the God of the whole world. The whole world belongs to God and everything in it, to include you and to include me. And so stewardship is a reminder that we are God's people, that God has a claim over our resources, that God has a claim over our time, that God has a claim over our talents, but most importantly, God has a claim over our hearts. He wants it. He wants all of it. None of it for Caesar. None of it for our world. None of it for the things that many people like to give their hearts over to. None of it for money. None of it for greed. None of it for indifference. All of it for love, because that's who God is. God is love, and that's who God has called us to be too. People who follow him and belong to him as we make our way along the way of love. So let us remember this morning that we belong to God. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have blessed us with so much. A lot of it we take for granted. But you have reminded us that we belong to you. We ask, Lord, that you help us to live lives that are worthy of you. Help us to live lives that are worthy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to give our whole selves over to you. Help us to love you with all of our hearts and our mind and our strength. And help us to love one another as we love ourselves. And when we do that, we'll be given to you what belongs to you. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.